This is the Citizen of Heaven podcast number 259, Sailing. I'm Hal Hammonds, Citizen of Heaven, your embedded correspondent in Satan's world. Thanks for listening, rating, and subscribing. If money, time, self-discipline, and my wife's fear of drowning were non-factors, sailing would be the hobby for me. And so I remain landlocked. Today we'll discuss how to sail with Jesus instead of going with the prevailing winds, how a quest doomed for failure cost Henry Hudson his life, how the king of Yacht Rock still calms my spirit, and how knowing the ocean currents can help you sail into the winner's circle. We'll start with what I've been preaching. Ephesians 4:11 through 14 reads, quote, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity, with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit." End quote. Usually I turn to this passage to emphasize the importance of apostolic authority, adherence to the scriptures, and the general obligation of all Christians to grow in their faith and encourage other Christians to do the same. But today I want to come at the passage from another direction. The reason we need to be anchored in our faith is so that we will be prepared to battle what Paul calls every wind of teaching. And I want to begin by emphasizing the moral and ethical basis for these winds. The CSB refers to human cunning and cleverness and techniques of deceit. Cunning and cleverness might be seen as neutral or even positive attributes in different contexts. But by grouping them with techniques of deceit, we see them for what they are. Yet more efforts from the devil to drag us back into his way, instead of being faithful to the true gospel of Jesus. It's tough enough to stay on Jesus' path when everyone on board is working together. But Paul says some Christians just don't want to go where Jesus is taking them. They are determined to go elsewhere, and they want to take you and me with them. They are the wolves in sheep's clothing. They are not part of the solution. They are part of the problem. What form might those winds take? For one, becoming more accepting of sin in general, and sin in our midst in particular. It's been long said with regard to sin, what the world accepts, the church tolerates. What the world embraces, the church accepts. And what the world requires, the church embraces. We're always a step behind the culture on the same road to perdition, patting ourselves on the back for opposing what's out there, instead of being concerned about what's in here. James says we are to put away all that remains of wickedness. We should not be satisfied with anything less. We could talk about doctrinal matters also, if you want to distinguish that from ungodliness. To keep up with the times, we're told, we must embrace more modern approaches to women's roles, evangelism, and other church practices. We can talk about culture in a general sense another time. But if you're using culture as an excuse to ignore Jesus' message, you have crossed the border of the kingdom. Such ones, according to 2 John 9, do not have God. I don't care where you are. If God's not there with you, you're in the wrong place. But the most important of these winds is also the simplest. Are you going to be a citizen of heaven or a citizen of earth? Is your mission to build a paradise for yourself here and maybe even contribute to a paradise for everyone else? Or is your eye always on the prize that awaits you in the next life? Have you truly set your mind on things above instead of on things on the earth? To borrow from Colossians 3:2. Sailing with Jesus necessarily involves anchoring with Jesus. If the truth will set you free, as he said in John 8:32, and if the truth was delivered once for all, as we read in Jude 3, you need to grab hold of that truth with everything you have. The winds are strong, and they are increasing. Find strength in Jesus. Go where he goes and stay where he stays. This is what I've been reading. I've been reading a lot of books about explorers of late. It goes back to my childhood. I've always been fascinated by the willingness of men to board a boat and set sail into literally uncharted territories. I've gotten to where I don't want to leave my driveway without turning on my GPS. Okay, that's an exaggeration. If I know where I'm going, I'm fine without a map. But the explorers of old had no map. All they knew was that somewhere over where the sun was setting was China. And if they kept sailing in that direction, they would get there. Since the world was, and is, round, the same thing goes for sailing to the west. William Barents had died trying to get to China that way in the late 16th century. Maybe I'll touch on his story another time. Today I want to talk about English explorer Henry Hudson, as described in Donald S. Johnson's book, Charting the Sea of Darkness. Okay, the good news first. Hudson's work in mapping the coast of North America was important enough for a prominent river and bay to be named after him. The bad news is he and his son likely would have considered that small consolation when his mutinous crew was sailing off in his ship, leaving the Hudsons to die on June 23, 1611. Hudson was commissioned to find the Northwest Passage, a sea route to the western edge of the world that did not require a trip to the southern edge of the world. It's difficult for map geeks like me to appreciate the situation from Hudson's point of view, but back then, people simply did not understand how big the world is, and more to the point, how big the North American continent and the Pacific Ocean are. They knew in a general sense that it got colder as you traveled north, but that was no guarantee in their mind that ice would be an impassable barrier. In four trips over 4 years, Hudson mapped territory that had never been mapped before, never knowing how long the process would take, but always confident he would eventually meet with success. His crew, to put it mildly, did not share his optimism. When Hudson decided to spend the winter on the southern edge of what is now called James Bay, most of the rest of the sailors chose to go home instead. And if you have Google Maps, you won't have trouble sympathizing with the mutineers. James Bay is on the border of Quebec and Ontario, in northern Canada. Hudson's party was barely a quarter of the way to the Pacific Ocean, and that was the easy quarter. Even if a path through the ice could have been found, and it almost certainly would not have been, they would have spent three more winters in the most inhospitable land on Earth other than Antarctica. In short, Hudson was wrong, and it cost him his life. Maybe you have someone in your life that you would go to the end of the earth for. A spouse, a child, a mentor. Someone in whom you had absolute faith. Someone to whose destiny you would gladly hitch your wagon. Maybe you've even done it. And if so, maybe you've lived to realize the error of your ways. They say follow your heart. But God says, in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than anything else. I urge you, trust your Savior Jesus Christ and no one else, including this podcaster. Go where he goes and absolutely no further. Following Jesus will challenge you. He will take perplexing and even infuriating turns. But if he is truly the captain of your ship of faith, continue to trust him. Long ago, a crew of people chose to kill him instead of going where he was taking them. Don't crucify him afresh just because your future is uncertain. Let him hold the future for you and the wheel. This is what I've been hearing. Most of my listeners are too young to remember the sensation that was Christopher Cross. It didn't last long, but it sure was exciting while it lasted. Ironic, considering the title of his most enduring song and the generally relaxing tone of his music. In fact, Sailing, the song you're listening to now, may be the very reason Cross's style of music in the late 1970s came to be known as yacht rock. Middle school Hal remembers thinking Christopher Cross was for old people. The bands like Boston were more his speed, literally. Now that I am an old person, or at the very least older, I appreciate the value of slowing down. Some of my favorite memories from 8 years of living on the Gulf Coast of Florida involve me sitting on the shore, breathing in the sea air, and just letting my mind drift. Sailing in particular is terrific for just taking a much-needed breath in a crazy, mixed-up world. The thought of getting on a boat and just going where the wind takes you, far away from the troubles and troublemakers of life. It's just a wonderful 4 minutes and 15 seconds. The surprising thing, as I found out while prepping this segment, Sailing, the song, is not really about sailing the activity. When Christopher Cross says, "The canvas can do miracles, just you wait and see," he's actually talking about art. Yes, obviously, canvas sails help the boat go where the wind takes it. But canvas in an art studio does the same thing, just without the massive expense and the danger of drowning or being eaten by sharks. I'm reminded of the opening scene in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, one of the Narnia books by C.S. Lewis. The children stare at an unbelievably realistic painting of a ship on the sea, and suddenly they find themselves inside the painting, transported to a different world. Art can do that, at least for 4 minutes and 15 seconds. And since music is just another form of art when it comes down to it, we wind up coming back around to Sailing with Christopher Cross. But how would it feel to sail with Jesus? If you're like me, you immediately flash to the story in Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27. And it's not a Christopher Cross-esque scene at all. It's a stormy night. Spirits are sinking. And Jesus is asleep, seemingly indifferent to your troubles. But even in those moments, there is serenity with the Lord. We forget that sometimes, that we are safe in His presence, always. That we will get to our destination in His time and His way, if we keep faith alive. Wouldn't it be amazing, though, to have Jesus' sense of serenity at all times, no matter what sort of seas we're sailing? To be able to just look at the picture He draws of the abundant life He promises in John 10:10. To see the image of Jesus in God's Word and watch yourself growing more and more like Him. Just a dream and the wind to carry me, and soon I will be free. That is never more true than when the dream is of heaven and the wind is the Spirit of God. The canvas really can do miracles. Just you wait and see. This is what I've been playing. Alexander von Humboldt was a German explorer in the 19th century, most noted for his excursions to the Americas and the work that he did charting the currents of the Atlantic Ocean. His work is honored, I guess, as much as a board game can honor that sort of thing, in Humboldt's Great Voyage, a game that took Tracy and me by surprise last year. I won't bore you with the details of how the game works. Basically, your task is to take a ship from one part of the world and ride the ocean currents to another part of the world. And in so doing, you establish trade routes and you find the trading partners that will give you the most victory points. It could hardly be more thematic if you were playing on a ship by candlelight. I'm joking, of course, but it really is an enjoyable experience, or at least it was for us. For board game enthusiasts out there, if you like the idea of five tribes, but think it's a bit too long and complicated, Humboldt's Great Voyage is the game for you. The actual Atlantic Ocean does not have marked paths right there on the surface of the water, That confused Columbus and other early explorers who had never crossed an ocean before. The assumption was that an ocean was essentially a big bathtub. If you were driven by a wind out of the east, you would travel west. That's essentially why the Pilgrims in 1620 landed in Massachusetts instead of Virginia, like they had planned. Turns out the ocean has a mind of its own. Of course, with the advent of steam power, sailors were able to cut through the currents and go where the captain wanted to go. But even so, the currents are a force that must be overcome. Unless you invent the airplane, that is, but that's a game for another day. The point here is, life is far simpler if you pick a current that's taking you where you already wanted to go. And I think that's the problem with a lot of Christians. They've decided to go to heaven, and that's good, obviously. But they've decided to get there by a path that diverges considerably from the path mapped out by Jesus, and that's bad. Maybe that's a struggle you're facing right now. And you think that sheer force of will can get you out of the current you've chosen just in time to dock in the haven of rest. Why would you do something like that? Well, we all know the answer. It's because you love the world too much. As much as we may read 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, trumpeting the dangers of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, those are the things in this life that hold the strongest appeal for our neighbors. That's where they're sailing their ships, and they're having the time of their life in doing so. And maybe it looks good to you. That's why the broad way is so broad. The devil expects a lot of traffic, and he's getting it. The problem is not the power of the current. It's the weakness of your value system. Do you want smooth seas, or do you want the right destination? Humboldt was sailing long after the days when sailors feared falling off the edge of the earth by going too far in the wrong direction. But Christians today would do well to keep terror alive. Satan is enticing you to set sail on a wonderful, exciting voyage of discovery. But the one who created the oceans has told you where that current will take you and where it will not take you. You shouldn't choose a college based on the quality of the road that leads to campus. And you shouldn't try to go to heaven by sailing only on calm seas. Put your ship on God's path. Leave it there. And let God guide you home. Thank you for listening to the Citizen of Heaven podcast. Please rate, review, and share so others can access this content. I encourage you also to join the Heaven Citizens Facebook group. There you will find links to related materials, conversation starters, poll questions, and the occasional special announcement. Also, check out the Hal Hammonds channel on YouTube for even more content. Until next time, be strong and courageous, fight the good fight of faith, and do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Hal Hammonds, Citizen of Heaven, signing off.